This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Porter Jr., he'll spin away from trouble. High steps it to the front court. Crossover dribble through a screen by Antetokounmpo. Lob knocked away by Draymond. Picked up by Moody. Moody with a break to Spencer. Spencer goes in over Green and backed him up underneath the hoop and scored low left.
Nice finish.
Bay Area, it's Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Spadoni's going to be back tomorrow. Evan getting his sitting in for him alongside Joe Shasky. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. The Warriors, a nice win last night against Milwaukee. And again, we're just trying to ask the question. Sum up the last two nights. You know, the kind of a deflating loss against Denver, a necessary victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. Before we open up the phone line, Shasky, 888-957-9570. How would you sum up the last 48 hours?
I'm about to bounce back. Bounce back. You ever heard of Juvenile? That's what it felt like. As low as I felt yesterday, which it was more maddening the way it went down for me. You can lose to a team that's undermanned. You can't lose to a team in that fashion, the way that they did, with my main cogs playing atrocious IQ basketball. When you have unforced errors, you know, your Jimmy Jacket shots up all over the place that are unnecessary, and you don't got it, like, and you also have Jimmy Butler on the floor. Like, dude, read the room a little. Not everything has to be a grand slam. I say this to, like, young broadcasters all the time. They're like, you know, Joe, give me some examples. Hey, look, man, not every segment needs to be me screaming and yelling. I've learned that. It takes a long, long time. A couple singles, and then pick and choose your spots to put both buck cheeks into it and try to hit a home run. But if the bases aren't loaded, there's no need for a grand slam. And sometimes, even when the bases are loaded, a ground ball to second base that's not a double play can still drive in a run, you know? And so the same thing with the Warriors. There are times where I feel like Steph goes into hero mode, and I thought that in that Denver game. And it's like, yo, dog, this is why we got Jimmy. Take some of the load off you. Let's get a little methodical here. Hey, we worked really hard to cut this to 5, 6, 7. We don't need some crazy Pistol Pete pass, you know, the full length of the distance here. And I thought yesterday they took the cue from the night before and they said, we're going to flip the script and we are going to be methodical and patient. And yes, the third quarter drove me crazy. But the fact that they righted the ship, stabilized things, and found a way to pull all the levers, I thought it was a great win. Not just a good win, a great win against a good team.
A great win against a good team. This is from the 805. The game against Denver was obviously a team that said to themselves, we got this, and they let down, there's no question. We've all played the game that was that way and lost. We've also been to the other end and won, but I think this team has great potential. From the 925, sometimes you learn more about your team in a loss than a win.
I agree. You're more self-reflective when you lose. It's just, it's a fact.
The Nuggets' loss was a good reality check that everybody not named Steph Curry needed. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, Kerr said something before the game that I thought was
what
interesting. Like, the fact that he gave Steph the night off, not because he was physically tired, but because he was emotionally drained.
I get that.
And that, and he also, he was also kind of revealing. He's like, when Steph is emotionally drained, he starts making poor decisions. And I thought you saw, well, you clearly saw it. He turned the ball over 7 times.
Isn't that relatable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but look, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you don't get a good night's sleep. Like, it happens in the workplace all the time. You come in, you don't have your best stuff. We're not energetic on the air. Like, you have off nights. Steph Curry needed an off night. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Warriors, based on the way that he was playing and the amount that his body was clearly taxed or his mind, whatever you want to make of it, you know, I'm not saying they're better without Steph. But I don't know if they win that game last night because they couldn't afford a 6-for-21 performance from Curry if they were going to beat Milwaukee.
Well, I'm 100% with you. But I think that's the thing that I'm going to be monitoring. Like, they got the Raptors on Thursday, right? And I'm not trying to gloss over the game we just saw. I guess my question is, how quickly can we assimilate both ways of playing ball? The Jimmy methodical, where he does touch it from time to time, and then the crazy frenetic, oh my God, you have to, you know, find Steph, get him the rock right now, set some off-ball screens, let's go. You know, like, the best version of this Warrior team, if they want to go far, would be some blending of the two. And then I guess the question is, how can you do it? When can we see it, and against what opponents, and is that sustainable against the great ones? Because I think winning in a variety of ways is extremely important. We talked about this when KD was here. Well, he could just get you a bucket when you need a bucket. Well, this is a team that I think they need to treat Jimmy Butler similar to KD, in that when the team needs a bucket and a slowdown, yeah, run the offense through him. And if it happens to be you run the offense through him and Steph's wide open for a three off of some split action, Jimmy will find him. We're not saying we don't need Steph. We need all five parts humming down the stretch.
Exactly. We're about 10 minutes away from Do You Believe? Again, the game where we're going to ask Dub Nation how much they believe in the Warriors title.
Do you believe?
Chances. About an hour away from Anthony Slater of The Athletic, joining us every single week here on The Roast. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni. Let's open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. Get out to Steven in Oakland.
What's up, Steve?
Steven, good morning. What's going on?
Guys, I just wanted to say, you know, after the two games, we are what our record says we are. It's very important to always stay grounded. There is a chance that we could still not make the playoffs. I don't want to be a downer, but one thing that Shasky said that is important, and I called in and said this a lot the last time, is, you know, Jimmy is our Durant. He plays the Harrison Barnes position of when we need a bucket, he can get a bucket. It's like a track race with a relay race. Not everyone is your closeout runner.
Yep.
Jimmy is our closeout runner. Steph can run the first three legs fine, but Jimmy, he's smarter with the ball, less turnovers, and he can get that foul that is so important to get us into the bonus that really helps put away a game. But we got to stay grounded. We're still probably one piece away. I would like to see us get a more dynamic center.
I completely agree.
Need someone who can finish at the rim a little bit more to really contend for a title. But we got to remember, we are what we say our record is, and I won't feel good until we're literally in the playoffs.
I hear you.
I don't feel good.
Well, the margin of error is so slim. I mean, you lose last night, and boom. You're in the box.
Yeah.
You know, you win last night. It's like, deep breath. That's why the Denver game was so frustrating, because you felt like you had the opportunity to get a little bit of breathing room. Just a little bit. He made 2 points I want to get into. Number one, that Jimmy Butler can be your closer. Yeah, he can. Look at the Bucks. When they won their title, Middleton was their essential closer. Yes, Giannis was spectacular. Giannis is their best player. No one's going to doubt that. But when they needed buckets in the half court down the stretch, yeah, Giannis got him some of those buckets. But Middleton was the guy that was facilitating offense for them. I know we've forgotten, it was a long time ago, but that's how they ran their team. When I look at like the Warriors, Curry's going to be our driving force. There's no doubt about it. But we could still pick and choose our spots to identify, like, all right, we've got a stop. We're chasing four here. We need to get a good bucket. We've taken some erratic threes early in the shot clock. Let's slow things down. Let's get a good look. All right? That's where Jimmy comes into play. And it doesn't mean Jimmy's the one taking the shot. It's just we're going to run it through Jimmy, and I trust him to either get to the free throw line, get a good look, you know, whether it's a shot late in the shot clock or not, or find the open guy.
If you got to win four times in seven games, it can't just be all on 30. Jimmy Butler is going to have to win you a game, or maybe two, or help someone else that can win you a game. Again, if Butler sees that Quentin Post is on fire, he's going to give him the ball.
He's going to feed him.
If Buddy Hield is making shots, he's going to get him the ball. If Jonathan Kuminga, who did not play well last night, has it going, because I think the Warriors are going to realize their potential, they're going to need every single player to play at their best. If you're trying to win a championship, you're going to have moments where guys that aren't expected step up.
Agreed.
That's why Jimmy Butler doesn't mind not taking an open layup and throwing it to the corner for Gary Payton II. GP2 hit an unbelievably clutch three as the shot clock was expiring in the fourth quarter. Did I think it was going in based on his percentage? Maybe not.
No.
But in the playoffs, you're going to need guys like that to hit that kind of shot. And Butler has the faith in his teammates to do it, even if it's not he himself who's scoring. He can create that for others. So I just love the way that he's instilled a lot of confidence in these guys.
The other thing that the caller called in, I think it's Steven in Oakland, you said, and I completely agree with him. I do think they're really one piece away. And that piece to me, if I were just identifying what that piece is for the offseason, it's a bouncy big. I'm talking about someone athletic who...
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can defend at the rim, who's going to rim run and just catch lobs and dunk. Like, think the kid from New Orleans that was supposed to, Charlotte that was supposed to get traded to the Lakers. Think either Gafford or Lively, who might be available because Dallas feels like they're in a free fall, you know, garage sale. And think like even someone as mediocre as a Jackson Hayes would be a vital piece to what the Warriors have. You got the grounded big in Looney. Maybe it's TJD, but for right now, I'm going to say it's Looney. You've got Quinn Post, the stretch big. I think you need the bouncy big. That's the way I would describe. Yeah, like a guy that's going to get up off the ground. You know what I mean? That's going to give them some length. A true, legit 7-foot athlete.
Like in a perfect world, what Trace Jackson Davis could be.
If he was a little bigger and a little taller, and actually had hands.
I could finish
around the rim, right?
Yeah, I mean, that might be the one thing that could combat the rest of these super athletic big teams. But they're going to have to figure out how to work through that regardless.
It would give them another funnel or two at the rim for some of their deficiencies on the perimeter. Well, especially when you have like someone like Steph out there playing, to have someone that can be like, because Kyrie's benefits from this. Having someone that can, you could funnel that guy to the rim and know that you've got backup there at the rim waiting for someone.
Chris is in Sonoma, wants to talk about the last 48 hours. Chris, how would you sum up the last two games for the Golden State Warriors? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I would sum it up as this is the NBA, and a few things about that. Look, at the guys that don't play much are very hungry, fighting to keep a roster spot. Every year, most teams turn over, you say, maybe 40% of their roster. 8 guys stay, 6 or 7 go to another team. So when people get their opportunity, they're going to play really hard. And, you know, in the NBA, when teams are undermanned, the opponent psychologically is going to let down. You know that's what the Warriors did the other night. I think against Denver, the only guy who brought it start to finish was Payton, because he always does. So I would explain it as that's the NBA. Hungry players want to stay in the league. Someone's coming for their job. Last night's game, Warriors sit down their best player, and other guys become monsters and play crazy focused basketball. So that's how I would explain it.
Appreciate the call, Chris.
It was nice to see Pajemski in his first return to action look really good. They needed that jolt. I thought they missed his energy, his rebounding. You know, like when the guards are rebounding, they're a really good team. Like, it's simple to me because that means they're active and that means they're contesting long shots and there's long rebounds. And Pajemski's a guy that gets a lot of 50-50 balls. Does he drive me crazy when he picks up his dribble in the lane and pivots to no man's land? Yeah, you know. But what I will give him credit for is he's adjusted. I thought he had a couple of finishes with the right hand yesterday in traffic. He had a couple of nice three balls. He's much more decisive with the ball in his hands since returning from the other injury, the abdominal one, than he was for the first handful of months of the season. He's really adjusted in season.
Yeah, that first three he took and buried was with confidence.
Absolutely.
It was like he hadn't missed 5 games, to be honest. He looked really good. All right, let's squeeze Dean San Ramon in before we get to Do You Believe. D, good morning. What's going on?
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me on. I want to talk Warriors. I want to talk my expectations the last few days was they would lose one of the games this homestand. That came true. What people don't realize is the Warriors this year, they may not have it all, but they are going to make some noise. How are they going to do that? Let's look at defense. What happened last night? Draymond, nobody's been talking this morning about the job that he did on Giannis. He did an excellent job on Giannis. And also the Warriors, Giannis and Leonard, two of the best scorers for the two men in basketball this year. The Warriors held them way under their average. The Warriors are going to shock the NBA this season and make some noise on their defensive end of the ball. Let's talk about that.
We have.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. Oh, look, Draymond said something last night about defense, and I've been saving it. We're going to do it a little bit later on, but I will get to my case that I have for Draymond Green, because he brought up something. I just want to piggyback on it. But Sam, is now our time where we want to do believe.
It's time to play Top Nation's favorite game. Do you believe the Warriors will win the title?
That's the short open. Okay, I was going to say, so Evan Giddings filling in for Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky, Sam Lemon here. You guys are going to have to help me. I've never played this game before. We're going to do it live.
I'll do
whatever
it.
Whatever they say. All right.
How you doing? It's Joe Shasky here, and I'm running the game show. We're playing America's favorite game. Do you believe that the Warriors can win a championship? We're in a full studio here at the Laughing Monk Studios in downtown San Francisco. Evan Giddings, step on up. You are contestant number one. For those that are playing along in their cars right now or at home, the number is 888-957-9570. Get in here. Dial it again one more time. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings, I'll ask you, contestant number one, step on up, the kid from San Francisco wearing the All-Star cap. Do you believe the Warriors could win a championship?
Okay, first and foremost, that was incredible. I see why you guys love to play this game. And that was awesome. Do I believe they can win a championship? Yes. Yeah, I think they could win the championship. Absolutely. If they don't play the Denver Nuggets.
Please explain.
That's what I believe. What we saw last night is that is a team that is the Warriors' kryptonite. Now, the Warriors may not have to play Denver, because I believe the Timberwolves are the Nuggets' kryptonite. And I think if there is a path that plays out that does not include that basketball team, the Warriors absolutely could run the West and win the championship.
That's a great answer. I like it. Well, now we've got a redhead from Concord, California. He's coming through the door. Sam Lubman. Sam, step right up. Tell everybody. You like long walks on the beach? Oatmeal and sausage in the morning? What else?
Oh, Lashes and I like believing in these Warriors. That's what I like to do.
All right, let me do the asking and you do the telling. Okay. Do you believe the Golden State Warriors could win the championship this year?
You know, guys, I said yesterday there are four teams that I believe have a legitimate claim to win the championship this year. The Celtics in the East, the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Warriors in the West. I still stand by that. And the reason why I still stand by this Warriors team, we saw last night, it's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy freaking Butler. We all know that there's another level to his game that he could, you know, flip that switch, as we used to say, once the playoffs come around. And all this talk about, oh, I just want, you know, of Steph saying, oh, I just want meaningful basketball games. Please just give me meaningful basketball games. If we see this man with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green in the playoffs this year, yeah, I think that's another switch that'll be flipped. And if Jimmy and Steph are flipping their switches, you know, Draymond Green's flipping his switch. And you see one switch after another, kind of domino effects. You got a team that is very much ready to elevate its game in the playoffs against a bunch of teams that I don't know if they have that same elevation in them, unless, of course, it's the Denver Nuggets.
Way to take the steering wheel and drive us right off the road, Sam Lubman.
How many switches are at Chase Center?
Hey, well, it's the Drake song. I just flipped the switch, switch.
Okay, I'm going to need a different reference then. No switch there. But, yeah, no.
Lots of switches.
There is another level to this team that I expect. And we saw last night, the way that Jimmy Butler could take over games when he needs to.
Woo!
We've seen it happen in the playoffs a lot. He dragged the Miami Heat to two NBA Finals playing like that. When I see him doing that for the Warriors this summer or this spring going into the playoffs, yeah, no, I very much believe.
888-957-9570. We're firing on all cylinders this morning. I'm Joe Shasky in the Laughing Monk Studios, and we're playing America's favorite game. Do you believe that the Warriors can win a championship? Let's go out to a man who lives in Marin County. I think he's a Little League coach. Look is his nickname. Matt Nahegan, step right up. No asking. What's up, buddy?
No one cares about my opinion. I'm going to hit the 925 on the text board.
Oh, yeah.
888-957-9570.
Is that the text
line? For the text board and the call-in. 925 says Buddy Hield is the key. If he's hitting threes, the Warriors can win it all.
Well, there we go. It's unanimous.
From the 415, from what I've seen over the last 48 hours, OKC and Denver are just better teams right now. So I don't think that they can win a championship. Look, those are two... Those are the two matchups I would not want to see if I'm the Warriors. But could they win a championship? Yes. And I do think that Sam is correct in the sense that the difference now, the different ingredient in the drink, the different a little bit of zest in the gumbo pot, it is Jimmy Butler. It is Jimmy.
The zest is cayenne pepper, my friend. And that is a wrap for America's favorite game. Evan, you just won yourself a nice boat.
It was a nice boat. Well, I'll take any kind of boat at this point. Dude, it is
not
cold
the mystery box
the
boat.
The mystery box is a boat.
Well, the problem is when you win the car, the boat, whatever.
We're just past crabbing season.
You get crushed on the taxes. Crushed!
I'm getting crushed on taxes no matter what.
Trust me, dog. Trust me. I have a big beef right now with the federal government in the state of California.
Oh, it's always about
especially
that
when I'm driving around and Caltrans is literally ripping up every inch of every road all across the state. It's a nightmare. There's potholes everywhere. It's ridiculous.
I got some streets in my neighborhood if they want to rip up, but that's fine. 888-957-9570 is the number. Do you believe?
Did you like my game show voice?
I did. No, honestly, that was great. And I appreciate you kind of, you know, just hugging me, bringing me into this segment. When did you guys come up with that? Right when Jimmy Butler got here?
Well, you know, me, the boss, Sam, you know, when you got three mensches just cutting it up.
Spadoni, too.
There's a lot of, Spadoni as well, a lot of brainstorming that goes along. And, you know, it was a cumulus cloud, even though we're Odyssey.
That's a four. The thing about the Do You Believe game that to me it's, all right, like last night, to me that's a necessary building block towards me believing that they can win a championship. But what I mean is this. In the postseason, you're going to have duds. You're going to have games where you're let down. For example, when the Warriors won the championship in 2022, you remember the beatdown on Beale Street against Memphis?
Of course.
You remember they lost like by 50 points.
Yeah.
That was a game that is no longer remembered, will never be uttered about again, because it was a part of winning that series. And it was a part about getting to the next in the Western Conference Finals. That was the longest series they had to play. Six-game series, beat Memphis. I know that Ja was hurt. But the point is, you're going to take your lumps in the postseason. You're going to have games where we're going to come in here and overreact and say they can't beat this team and they stink and there's no way this team can win a title. And 48 hours later, the team's got to get back up off the canvas and go kick the other team's ass.
I view it as simple as this. It's all about adjustments and matchups and coaching strategy. Yes, does having the better players yes, players matter. Part of what makes the playoffs, and why the Warriors have been so great, they have a list of high IQ players who can adjust to whatever the game strategy is. Hey, we've seen two games. Now we see what they like to do, and now we know what they want to do. We know who we can let off the hook on the three-point line, who we have to double, and when we have to double them. See, like, that's why, to me, I get it. Oklahoma City is a great regular season team. I hear everybody on that. But this is also a very young team that has failed to show anyone, because they've only been to the playoffs in one big run, that they can make the necessary adjustments and have the high IQ to be able to perform seven games after seven games after seven games and then get to the finals. That's how it works.
No, I think you're on it. The Warriors Wednesday is a Warriors Wednesday. Brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
Let me take it a step further. I look at the Houston Rockets for a long time. Not necessarily the CP3 Rockets, but the Harden Rockets overall.
Yeah.
Great regular season team. When you play them on a one-off, the way that they play, that high pick and roll, they had Capella with the lobs, they had Gordon, they were shooting threes. When they come into your town and you don't really practice for them, you're not really studying, you got a kind of like a scouting report, and you just play them one time. It's tough to adjust to the way Harden wants to play ball, right? And it's tough to adjust to their lobs and their rolls and things like that. When you hunker down against them in a seven-game series and you study them, it's actually a really easy basketball to defend against, because you know, one guy with the ball, dribble, 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 dribble. Here comes the high pick, and we've got to figure out how we're going to rotate, whether we're going to hedge, you know, whatever. However we're going to play these pick and rolls. There's like six, seven, eight different ways that you can play them. It's a lot easier than the read and react system. The way the Warriors play, though frenetic and it drives me nuts and creates a lot of turnovers, there's not a template to stopping it, because it's kind of, I'm seeing what you're doing, and we're just going to freelance based off that. It's like backyard basketball to a degree. So I view Oklahoma City as your turn, my turn. I've watched them a lot this year. They're a great team. And I think what they do in the regular season presents crazy problems. And I really like the Hartenstein, you know, acquisition for them, because he gives them a ruggedness. But what does he look like in a playoff series when you try to run him off and you're trying to, you know, get him in the action or get Chet Holmgren in that high pick and roll action? It's the same problem that Jokic has been in the last couple of playoff series. Teams are going to attack him in that high pick and roll and they're going to wear him down. That's what's kind of, obviously, injuries and things like that for Denver. That's worn them down. And they're perpetually in help defense, Denver. So there's things that teams present during the regular season that when you carry over into a seven-game series, you just can't do all the stuff that really worked and was the key recipe ingredients for regular season success. There's 16-game players, then there's 82-game players. And sometimes they blend, but I think that there's a lot of teams that, like the Knicks, I don't really trust them in a playoff series. I like them in the regular season. I don't trust Cat.
No, and that's why I said earlier, I think the Warriors are a good team. I don't know yet if they're a great team, because the good teams win the game last night. The Knicks have not been able to beat good teams all year.
The Celtics have blown them out, it feels like, in every game.
But the next step is, can the Warriors be a great team? That's what you have to be to win a chance. I would say even to win multiple playoffs.
Yes!
To get to the Final Four, the Western Conference Finals, you have to be a great team. You know, Oklahoma City, to me, they scare me because of how well they defend.
Sure.
Their bucket getters are what they are, but they put clamps on people.
And they've got a lot of guys that can come in and get hot.
Denver, it's just the fact that based on their size and the amount of physicality that they play with, I think it's a tough matchup for Golden State.
I would agree.
But to Golden State's credit, we've seen them now win by scoring 130. We saw them last night win by preventing Milwaukee from breaking 100. We've seen them win multiple ways, and I do think our caller, you know, was asking about Draymond Green. But defensively, down the stretch, Gary Payton II was able to make Damian Lillard's life very difficult. Someone like Draymond Green, over the course of the game, was able to make Giannis Antetokounmpo's life very difficult. So defensively, they are a different team now with Jimmy Butler. And I think they've played like a better group because they're a little more heady.
They were, I believe, the last game that they won, that they held an opponent under 100. I want to say they were 15-4 at that time. And I think now they're 16-4 when they hold an opponent under 100.
Yeah.
They only have two wins when they don't score 100. So it's interesting. But like, OKC, I like the matchup. Acknowledging how great they are, I like the matchup for whatever reason. The Warriors and the pace and the way that those games have played out. Now, granted, two of them were without Chet this year. I like the matchup for the Warriors. It's a good matchup. Denver, I can't run away fast enough from that matchup. Aaron Gordon brings the thing that I fear the most, that rugged, I eat offensive glass left and right. I referenced Tristan Thompson the other day. Tristan Thompson destroyed the Warriors, was not a good player, but he was a constant nuisance, and he would get second possessions, third possessions, fourth possessions. He would end possessions, and I think Aaron Gordon similarly presents the same problem to what the Warriors would face if they go up against them in Denver, and they've got shooters too.
Yeah, I mean, they have struggled to stop the Nuggets, even if the Nuggets aren't hitting threes.
Yes.
But also, the Warriors are a team that, you know, they didn't shoot a particularly great last night from three-pointers. They haven't been a great... I don't think that they're a great three-point shooting team. I don't even know if they're a good three-point shooting team.
Who's a good three-point shooter on the team?
Steph, Buddy, and QP. I mean, Moses has been a better three-point shooter.
I agree.
But he still has games like last night where he'll go 1 for 5.
And I think he hit 1-3 late in the Denver game, which the game was already decided. You're right. Kuminga's not a good three-point shooter. Butler's not.
Moody is a solid three-point shooter, but Buddy's the streaky one.
100%. And he drives us all crazy. I think the guy with the second-best form on the team is Quentin Post. That doesn't mean he's the second-best shooter, but I think he is. His form is beautiful. I love his form. I think you need to stay committed to playing him. I just view the regular season and the playoffs very, very different. There are some things that translate over, but there are certain teams. Like, great example, Rudy Gobert is great in the regular season, but when you can key on them and you can wear him down, you can play him off the floor in a playoff series.
But I think that's also, he's a matchup-based player.
Like, yes, yes.
He perform. I think outside of Wembanyama, and this might sound crazy, I think he defends Jokic better than anyone I've seen.
Gobert?
Yes.
Yes!
Aside from Wembanyama.
I think Gobert is actually, we've criminally underrated how good he is because we hate on him so much.
And as much as, yeah, like you put him in action, you bring him out the perimeter, he's going to tap dance.
Yes.
But the fact that he can make life hell for the best player in the world means that he does something that's valuable. Like the Warriors, They don't have a Gobert to throw at a Jokic. Now, Gobert's going to get you hurt against other teams, and that's why I wouldn't want to pay him $40 million. But that's why the Warriors, what they've been able to do defensively for so long, has the linchpin of that has been Draymond Green.
Sure.
That's what we saw last night. And that's why I think that defensively, they still, alongside with Butler now, though Butler isn't laterally as quick as he used to be, as good of an on-ball defender, they now have two center fielders. And if Moody continues to play at this high level, Gary Payton II's been closing now, I think more so because of what he does on defense than on offense. That's a pretty good defensive lineup. And they've proved to me that they can get enough stops. Like, if they can get into a two-minute game against a team, it's a one-possession game. Mm-hmm. For the last couple of years, I would say, oh, God, well, I hope that they can pull this one out.
That's exactly the way I would feel.
Now it feels like, all right, they're going to figure out a way to get this game.
Yeah.
They're going to figure out a way to close this game.
Well, and I think that's where the offensive philosophy of being a little more methodical has to take count. Like, I think the best sequence of a closing stretch was those two games where they ran a bunch of three-man action between Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy Butler. Wouldn't you agree that the kind of like running plays for Draymond out of the mid block with those two as the split action, or Jimmy on the block and Draymond and Steph as the split action, that's when they're at their best in the closing lineups.
I'm with you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky here on the roast. Interesting question from Hefe. If you remove Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, the Warriors are at their best when blank. Which player is playing their best basketball? So you remove the big three. They're at their best when blank player is playing their best basketball.
Are we talking about this stretch or?
Yeah, like the team is currently constructed.
Feels like Pajemski. Because like when he plays well, or maybe Buddy. I just feel like Pajemski does a little more all around for others, not just himself. But when he's playing, like when Pajemski scores 16 or more, it feels like they're unbeatable. But I can say the same argument for like 18 or more for Buddy. So it's one of those two for me.
I'm going to cheat a little bit because there's a stat that kind of backs me up.
What's that?
Moses Moody.
Okay, what is it?
They're 19-2 when he starts.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean he's playing well.
No, but when he's playing at his best, I think he kind of is the identity that I think Steve Kerr is going for, which is two-way basketball.
Yes.
Pajemski's a part of that. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. But to me, Moody, since he has usually the primary assignment of the best perimeter player on the other team, if he's able to keep that guy in check, I think it just makes it so much easier on everyone else. And he's now, even though, yeah, like last night he didn't shoot it very well.
No, but he's moving without the ball really well.
He knows himself at such a young age better than a lot of other players, to the point where if he's not making threes, he won't continue to jack it up unless he has to shoot. Like, and he's been more of a 2-for-5 type of three-point shooter, a 3-for-6 or 3-for-7, as opposed to Buddy Hield, who's 1-for-9 or 6-for-9. And those 6-for-9s, you're going to win. But I need a guy that I can rely on to hit the shots when they're there. And I just feel like Moses Moody, when he's played at his best, outside of the big three, that's when the Warriors are playing the best basketball.
The last five or six games, I've really noticed it. He is cutting underneath the hoop and getting easy little layups or fouls and going to the free throw line with Jimmy Butler. Every time Jimmy's ISO'd, I call it the Patrick Ewing Hakeem area, where he's out beyond the block, but he's not in the corner three area. He'll have it. The shot clock's winding down, and Jimmy's kind of doing his triple threat thing. Boom. Moody will cut underneath the basket, and Jimmy will find him every single time. I really love the way he's cutting to the basket.
This is from the 408. Shout out to the GP2, or as Goose says, GP3. That's true. Although he's been knocking down threes.
He's played phenomenal for a month.
He has. And most importantly, he's stayed healthy.
Yeah.
He's been able to stay on the floor, which has always been a problem for him. But Gary's improved his three-point shot so much, there's a stat put out there that he's 46% from three his last 10 games. He won't be one of our top 3 points guys, but man, him knocking out threes is incredible, and other teams will need to respect his shot. I don't know if any team will ever respect his shot, but he's a swing guy. Same with Draymond Green. If Draymond and Gary are hitting threes, now this becomes a team that's very difficult to beat.
The name we haven't brought up, and I feel like he's going to come around. Like, I know everybody's waiting to crush him. Kuminga! Like, trust me, I know he just got back from the injury. He was out 2 months. But if Kuminga can just continue to play good defense, I think he's rebounding better. I'm noticing him rebounding better. He's making a concerted effort. I've seen him box out. He's coming over to help out. Offensively, it's a little clunky. It's undeniable. I think we have to be patient with Kuminga. It's going to come around. He's going to get his opportunity. I don't know if he'll be needed or required to score 20-plus, but I think the offensive fluidity is going to come with time. And Kuminga's a guy that, like, if he could just continue to kind of chip away and get a little better, a little more comfortable, a little more healthy, get his legs underneath him. I just think we all have to be patient with Kuminga. I know he's a lightning rod.
888-957-9570 is the number. Outside of the big three, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, the Warriors are at the best when who is playing their best basketball? A lot of people are chiming in with Buddy Hield just because he's been such a firecracker.
Like, yes.
If he scores more than 15 points, they're winning at like a 90% clip. You know, I think the point is they have so many of those swing guys that are playing more consistently well that it makes it easier to envision, okay, so Buddy's off tonight. That's fine. Doesn't have to play as much. Moody's shooting it well tonight. Last night, Moody didn't shoot it well, but Buddy was awesome and helped them get back and stabilize that game in the third and fourth quarter. Okay, Kuminga's not playing well. That's fine. Gary Payton II can play big minutes in the fourth quarter. They have a lot of different answers where it felt like before the trade deadline, we're just asking questions about the guys 1 through 15.
I'm telling you, man, living on the razor's edge with Buddy Hield is terrifying. It's he's one of the scariest players in sports. It's got like a Jimmy Oh No feel to it.
God, I do.
Am I wrong?
I got a soft spot for him, though, man.
No, he tries really hard. I want him to be good. And clearly, Steph likes him. But
oh, they all love him.
He's erratic. How else can you describe him?
Ever since he was in college, I don't know. Like, I got a soft spot for the shooters, man. It's just because when they get hot, it's so pretty. And when it's not going in, actually, like against, I think it might have been Denver, he hit the side of the backboard.
Bro.
And I don't think anybody caught it because it ended up being an offensive rebound and putback. But as much as you're going to get the transition triple where he gets nothing but net, you might find one where he hits the side of the backboard.
Was it Dame or Gary Trent? Somebody hit foam last night. It goes right to Pods. He goes to lead the break, and he just crashes into Quentin Post. And then Giannis gets the ball, and then a dunk and an and one. It's like some of those horrific misses are just, they're negated because you're seeing a play happen. But I thought that Jimmy lost his mind on Buddy at the end of the third quarter in the Nugget game. He's like, you got to shoot that ball, dude. Like, you got to be decisive and shoot. I love the way Butler just, he's blunt. He's to the point. He gets right to someone.
Yeah, and it's not anything personal. Like, he also kind of lost it on Kuminga last night.
Rightfully.
He went right at him. And I think it was more so about, it's like you can live with the physical mistakes. This is across sports. You can live with the physical mistakes. The mental mistake of committing the flagrant foul when you have, like, that's something that costs you literally 4 points because they got two free throws and the basket after. So you can live with the physical mistakes, but the mental ones, that's where I think someone like Butler just gets absolutely infuriated.
No doubt. And I keep coming back to, like, I'm patient on Kuminga. I know he's a lightning rod. The area I want to see him improve on, if they're going to keep doing this, which is throwing the ball in the block, his back-to-the-basket game has got to be more refined. Otherwise, they need to scrap that and run more high pick and roll for him. Because it's him settling for in-the-lane, contested, fadeaway jumpers is not cracking right now for him. That's not in his bag.
I do want to explore that. And again, coming up in about a half hour, we have Anthony Slater of The Athletic. We can talk with him about Kuminga, along with everything else that's going well for the Golden State Warriors. But I do want to take some time to explore that. Right now, it's time for our injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, good news all around. This one from the Diamond. An MRI revealed no structural damage in Jung-Hoo Lee's back after experiencing spasms earlier in the week. The hope is that Lee can be back on the field for the Giants as soon as Friday. He has not suited up for a spring training game since March 13th. So, Jung-Hoo Lee, good news.
Good news in the sense that it's not horrific news.
Yeah.
But it's still not great.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, it's still a back injury. And we're not even into the...
What did he play, 43 games last year? 43, I think it was?
37,
there you go. Thank
it was
you.
A shoulder or a labrum or what?
No, it was the 17 walls he crashed into.
Well, maybe we need to put him in left. I don't know.
Still walls and left.
That's a good point, Sam. The injury report is brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. 888-957-9570, the number. I see you, WC in San Leandro. I see you, Fernando in Sacramento. We're taking your calls on the other side. Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, throw them out. The Warriors are at the best when who is playing their best basketball for the Golden State Warriors? That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. We're back after this on the Morning Roast.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.